This is a replay of the Tuesday night, January 9th WGN show. We started around 11. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 2 hours to spend together. Love to hear from you. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Well, of course, those 737s are in the news for the door plug. And door plug almost sounds innocuous, or piece of the fuselage or whatever. No. The door plug is exactly the size of an aircraft door. And it is just that. It's a plug in terms of on some configurations, if there are more than a certain number of seats, you need another exit door so everybody can get out in 90 seconds. And we saw on JAL last week exactly why 90 seconds was imperative. In any event, assuming that the configuration does not require that many seats and all that, and you don't have to have the extra door, they plug it. And it's much like a door, except it's absolutely inert. Well, until it falls off the plane. And what was interesting to me on this, well, two things. Number one, that they've grounded a lot of these, and they're finding a lot of loose connections, which is a little scary. But the other thing was the anecdotal report, the firsthand report of no one was sitting directly next to the door plug that fell off the plane after it left, about 6 minutes after it took off from Portland en route to Southern California. No one was right next to it, but there was somebody in the center seat, a 16-year-old guy, and his mother was on the aisle seat. Well, fortunately, since it was 6 minutes after takeoff, there was nothing about you can, you know, unbuckle your seatbelts and move around the cabin. Thank God. The plug blows out, and the force of the wind is so great that the 16-year-old loses his shirt. Literally, it's ripped from his body, his laptop and cell phone went too, as you would expect. But the idea that literally the clothes off your body are ripped is one of the more amazing things. And he survived. He was seat belted in, and other than a couple scratches, and of course the trauma that will be with him the rest of his life, he and his mother both were fine. But you continue to hear about these stories, and of course last month we heard the story that was beyond unbelievable. The off-duty pilot for Alaska Air who literally tried to cut the engines on a flight. By the way, he has pled not guilty to that, and he was charged and showed up in court. And from what I understand, as you'd expect, the guy was plumb crazy. But what that will mean in terms of how things progress, I don't know. But now we have one that is so over the top to me. And this is Delta, and yeah, I know. Years ago, we said Delta stood for doesn't ever leave the airport, but nonetheless, in this case, this one did, and it turned out that during the flight, a passenger was in medical distress to the point that the plane needed to be diverted and needed to land, which, you know, when it's a life and death situation, this happens. Well, unbeknownst to any of us at the time, this was August 22nd, 2022, the first officer, upon hearing that the captain was going to divert the plane, pulled out a gun and said, "I will shoot you multiple times if you divert this plane." He's obviously now been indicted. I guess took that long. He no longer flies for Delta, obviously. But he was authorized to carry the firearm through the TSA Federal Flight Deck Officer Program. And when you hear this stuff, it's just so over the top. Just over the top bad. But they disagreed over diverting the flight. And at that point, you'll be shot multiple times if you divert the flight. Now, what was interesting in the story I read, it did not say whether the captain diverted the plane or not, or what happened to the guy with or gal with a medical emergency on board. But nonetheless, the Department of Transportation is alleging that the first officer was threatening to shoot the captain of the flight. So this comes right after the Alaska Airlines pilot pleads not guilty to trying to shut down the plane's engines. And so you're worried about door plugs? Oh, no, it's not the most of your worries, trust me. So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. And I do want more information, and I assume we'll be able to find it eventually on the first officer saying, I'll shoot you if you divert. Yeah. What happened to the passenger? I don't know. I guess that wasn't in any of the news coverage I saw. Now, there's a heated discussion online. Interrupt the show, by the way, anytime the mood strikes you. That's 888-876-5593. 888-876-5593. 8888 RALLYE, and that will do it to it. But the heated discussion is interesting. Usually, when I see these stories, I come down hard and say it was parental responsibility, and which isn't being heated in this case. But I'm not so sure here, and apparently neither are a lot of people online because there's a lot of bickering back and forth. So what happened? The story is just horrible. A 3-year-old girl was given candy that ultimately caused her to choke, and it was impossible to unblock her airway in time, and she's left a quadriplegic. So it was the Candyland Gummy Dot, and this was December of last year. Well, I should say the year before, 2022. Hasbro manufactures this, probably not in their own little labs, but, you know, they brand it as such. And so a lawyer's been involved now. A lawsuit was filed in Philadelphia. And what's interesting is it's not for a lot of money. It's for like $50,000. So it's much more for making a statement than anything else, because this child will need millions of dollars over the course of her lifetime at this point. And apparently, Ring video was involved, and that showed the child choking on the candies. But her father and mother were there and were noticing that she was in terrible distress, and they tried to dislodge it. So it's not like kid choking and parents are in Guatemala. No, kid choking and parents are in the same room. And they couldn't dislodge the candy, so they immediately took the child to the hospital. And doctors tried to suction the candy out, which was at this point lodged in the back of the child's throat. And the extraction was very difficult because of the excessive stickiness of the product and the extraordinary, as they say, lack of pliability. By the time the doctors finally got the candy out, Severe hypoxia resulted. In other words, the child was not breathing, and the tissue was deprived of oxygen for far too long. And the ultimate result is the child is, I hate to use it in the vernacular, but virtually a vegetable. And the lawsuit says these candies were a ticking time bomb, and so they want to pursue justice for the innocent child, who was once vibrant and thriving, but now pretty much unable to speak, unable to swallow, unable to move for the rest of her life. And what's shocking to the parents and those surrounding them was that this level of brain damage could be caused by one single piece of this candy, and there was nothing on the label that says it is a choking hazard. And so, again, the lawyers are saying, we won't stop until this is removed from the shelves or appropriate warning labels are placed on the candy. And clearly the parents are not trying for a big payday, though maybe they should be, but they're trying to prevent other kids from being in the same situation. So that's the lawsuit. Now, normally we might just talk about it in passing, but like I say, it's become the Internet's heated discussion here. And on one hand, you have readers saying, you know, this is a ticking time bomb. This absolutely should have been labeled, should have been prevented, and all that. By the way, as I mentioned, Hasbro, it's branded for Hasbro. But so who is the company? Well, that is in Philadelphia. The Frankfurt Candy and Chocolate Company apparently make them, Candyland Gummy Dots. And as I say, if you see a product, Candyland Gummy Dots, clearly it's made for kids, and the idea that parents need to supervise the candy, of course they do, but absolutely they do. You know, if the parents weren't there, it would be open and shut to me, but they were. But you know, the parents saw no reason not to give the child a gummy, and didn't see anything labeled that said this is a hazard warning or that children under a certain age shouldn't consume or whatever. So they, unbeknownst to them, give the kid the candy. The kid chokes and the rest is history. And so who's responsible for that? And, you know, those who are saying the parents should have been more cautious, well, they're right there. The product is not labeled, you know, in any way that would lead, according to the lawsuit, I don't have the product in front of me, but I assume it's correct. But the label would not warn you that a young child was likely to choke. And, you know, again, who's to blame there? And I think better labeling at the very, very least as far as that one goes. 888-876-5593. That would be 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that is Laverne Baker. Don in Beloit wanted to hear some Laverne Baker. I thought, well, what haven't I played lately that maybe he hasn't heard? And Substitute came to mind, 1958 on Atlantic. It was a flip side of Learning Love, and it was a fine song in its own right. Clyde Otis was a co-writer in that. The Cookies backed him up. The Cookies from the 50s, so Earl Jean's older sister was in the group at the time, but not Earl Jean. So that's some Laverne Baker, and I thought we'd also maybe do some Laverne Baker and Jimmy Ricks coming up, or maybe even Laverne Baker's last big hit. Yeah, can you name it? Well, you might hear it. But right now, what you will hear is Johnny D of Ohio, and he is, as you know, the multi-talented Johnny D has taken to his writing talents to, in fact, describe all of you in this case who are listening. He used stand-up, because I mentioned that as far as Mel McDaniel's songs go, that's my fave. And so he said, you know, how about this? No, how about that not? All right, well, that would be interesting, but there wasn't quite as much production in it. How about this?
A song called Call Up, patterned after one that Raleigh likes, called Stand Up. If you're hearing Monday Night Show and hear a song that you know, call her up and try to get in. If you got no doubt about it, call her up and shout it, because if you don't, it might be a sin. So call up. Tell her all about it. Call up. Identify. Call up. Call her up and shout it. Call up and testify. Now, friends, she wants her lyrics. Lisa likes her old flicks. What Ruth wants, I really can't say. but her stream of consciousness will blow us all away. So call up, tell her all about it. Call up, tentify. Call up, call her up and shout it. Call up and testify. Now Marky wants his charts. He likes his women large. That's what all his drinking buddies say. So if you're a gigantic woman, if you're a titanic woman, jump up and down and shake the ground when he plays. So call up, tell her all about it. Call up, identify. Call up, call her up and shout it. Call up and testify. Call up, call up. Lord have mercy, baby's got her blue jeans on. That's my faith.
All right.
And so that's that, Jack.
There you go. So that's Johnny D mentioning many of you in his latest Audio Delight. So always appreciate him writing about you guys. It's a lot of fun. All right. Yes, by all means, take it to heart. Call up. That's 888-876-5593 and 8888-ROLLYE. That will do it to it. Operators are standing by while John is sitting by, and he'll be happy to answer. So James is in Oregon. James, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. I think winter's about to hit this part of Oregon tomorrow.
What are you expecting?
Well, I can ask my Amazon device, and it gives me the weather, and they're talking about, it doesn't sound like a lot, but 4 to 10 inches, maybe more, of snow over in the Bend area.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about 40 mile an hour winds, icy roads,
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Yeah.
Getting there, so between Prineville and there. And tomorrow's a dialysis day, so I'm probably going to miss that.
How far is that from you?
It's it takes about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour to get there.
Don't go, because I was seeing 50 mile an hour gusts and heavy snow. You're right, the accumulations may be only 2 to 5 inches, but that's not the big story. Travel could be just horrible, so do not.
I'll just mind my P's and Q's and watch what I need to. Just mostly cut down on my liquids like that, drinking.
Right.
Like that, yeah. Right. Hey, one of the reasons I called is you were talking about the little girl that choked. And,
yes.
Several years ago, it came out, and I haven't heard it advertised lately. It was something called LifeVac or something, some guy designed this thing, and it was like $100, $150 or something like that. And my granddaughter said she saw it on a video thing about how it worked, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like something that almost anybody can afford to have in their home.
Yeah, they're about they vary, and you can see them as cheaply as $20, but on average you probably see them a little more than that. And LifeVac has a site, lifevac.net, and it's just like you say, LifeVac.net. And there are other knockoffs as well, but it's non-powered, it's not invasive. It is a single use only. So when you're buying one, let's say for $20 or whatever, you're not going to be using it multiple times. You're going to be using it once. But that's all right. If it saves a life, that's a very cheap price.
Yeah.
So
at $20, get a six pack.
Well, the it comes in sizes, and there's a pediatric mask, as I remember, and I think the child has to be a minimum of like 20 pounds. I mean, there is a limit to how young the child can be. Absolutely, when you read the statistics, I think it's like something crazy, at least crazy to those of us who are otherwise unaware, that one child dies every 5 days from choking. So that's that's a huge amount. So yeah, that's a great idea on that. Thank you, James, and stay warm, stay safe, and stay indoors.
Oh, I will.
All right.
Okay, we'll listen to you.
Okay, good. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so we'll pick it up right there, and we find out what's going on in the world at large. We'll be right back right here on WGN Radio.
Well, when it comes to bopping and natural finger popping, baby, you sure do swing.
And when it comes to bopping and a natural finger popping, daddy, you are the king.
Baby, you've got me beat up and down, inside out and across. Ooh. Talking about dancing and down home romancing, baby, you are the queen.
Man, when push comes to shove, when it comes down to love, you're a horse.
But in the middle of the night, when the moon is shining bright, you're the boss.
And you're a diamond.
You're a pearl.
You're the best of everything. And daddy, you're my man.
And baby, you're my girl. When it comes to knowing which
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Baby. Laverne Baker and Jimmy Ricks, 1961 on Atlantic. And yeah, two luminaries as far as I'm concerned. Jimmy Ricks, of course, the lead singer for Years of the Ravens. And Laverne Baker goes without necessity for any introduction, to say the least. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Eduardo is in Tampa. What's happening, Eduardo?
Yeah, Raleigh, how's it going? Well, another week in the new year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was sad to hear about David Soul.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was from Chicago.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's I think that he hasn't been on a lot of people's minds for quite some time and sadly died, and so now the obits are everywhere. And, of course, he did a number of things in his life, but as you can imagine, almost all of them start with Starsky and Hutch. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the probably the most famous one. But I guess there was another one. And I don't know if this was the same one, but it was the other one that I heard was Here Come the Bribes.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that was much earlier. Yeah. Yes, yes. And I don't know that anybody would want to admit to being in that, but yes, indeed. So, but yeah, David Soul did a lot of things, including singing, of course. So.
Right.
Maybe
right.
Maybe we don't want to bring up that part.
He was also in Magnum Force. That was one of the Clint Eastwood movies.
So,
he moved to Great Britain.
Right.
I think he was in something called The West End, some kind of play or something.
He died in London, in fact. And sure. And had American hits, like I think one anyway, Don't Give Up On Us, but also had several top 10 records on the UK singles chart. So he did pretty well there. But yes, absolutely was a Chicago guy of Norwegian descent. And his father was a minister, I think. He was a Lutheran minister, but also taught poli-sci and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so a whole line of evangelists. I think both of his grandparents, both sides, were evangelists. And I think they've been in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And, then the family moved again. They were in Mexico City and David Soul went to University of Americas there in Mexico City. And that's where he started to play the guitar. So, yeah.
And I think Germany, too.
Yeah.
I think they were in Germany, too.
Right. So, you know, traveling evangelists, you're going to get that. And so, He had originally signed a contract with Columbia Pictures, there were a number of things, episode of this, episode of that. He was in Star Trek in an episode and some other shows that no one's ever heard of. And then, of course, the dreaded Here Come the Brides, which, of course, had Bobby Sherman in it. And it was terrible.
Okay.
Just terrible. I guess it was like two seasons, 68, 69, and 69, 70. It was over by September 70. But he was on Owen Marshall, Counselor of Law. People forgot that show. And he did a number of guest shots on Streets of San Francisco. He was in Magnum Force. I think it was Clint Eastwood who cast him for that role. But, of course, Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Starsky and Hutch made him a household name, as it were. He'd done all sorts of one-shots, you know, whether it was Macmillan and Wife or All in the Family or Gunsmoke, a ton of that. When it came to Starsky and Hutch, that just put him, you know, front and center, and that's when he had his "Don't Give Up on Us, Baby" 1977. Oh dear, let's try to forget it. But yeah, he had moved to the UK, I think, in the 90s, about the mid 90s on the West End, and
okay.
did several stage plays and such, and he did a number of things. I think that he ran for office as well. I don't know that he won anything, but I think he was, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's the first I hear about that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, if it wasn't him personally, it was a good friend of his who he really helped get elected or try to get elected. But yeah, you can probably read up about that. But then at Cambridge Theater, he played the role of Jerry Springer, if you're ready for that, in a play. And yeah, a lot of West End stuff, and then some reality TV stuff and all that that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Okay.
He certainly was a busy boy in his personal life. He was married 5 times.
Yeah, he couldn't make up his mind, right?
I guess so. The first one was, you know, childhood high school sweetheart Mim, and they had a child from that, and I think they were married less than 2 years, and then, oh, I don't know, right away someone else, Karen somebody or other, and they met on Here Comes the Bride, and then they might have lasted a few years. They had another child on that, so that makes 2 kids there. And then he was in a bunch of other relationships and got married. Bobby Sherman's wife. He married Bobby Sherman's wife. Well, his ex-wife at the time, obviously, if you're ready for that.
Okay.
Patty. He married Patty. And, by that time, he was a bad boy because he was in trouble for domestic violence and was ordered to therapy for alcoholism and anger management. So I think he might have beat Patty up while she was pregnant or something. I doubt that's in the that's probably not in the obits. But then he married a gal from Singapore. I think she was an American as far as heritage. But they had another child, and he continued to drink. And then there was the last wife who I think he stayed with the last wife for, you know, like well over a decade. So that was a long one. But, you know, a lot of people were surprised that he made it this long because he was 80 years old. And here's a guy who was just a constant drinker, a 3-pack-a-day smoker. He had serious COVID.
Okay.
He had a lung removed. And meanwhile, he made it to 80. So I guess that that must have been really good genes.
So, yeah, he lived a fast life.
Yeah, and obviously he lived it on his terms, and you know, good for him. Hopefully, he didn't hurt people along the way. I mean, other than the aforementioned domestic violence, hopefully he didn't. And certainly will be remembered.
Hey, let me ask you before I ask you about Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the, because I heard this on the radio during the day today, and a lot of people, because I was born in 71, but apparently this Paul Harvey talk came in 65, I think, If I Were the Devil.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear that?
Sure.
That little piece?
Of course.
Yeah.
And I think
I didn't, I just heard it this morning. I was kind of like, a lot of that stuff coming true, but I just don't, don't remember hearing that.
Well,
but it was really interesting to hear that.
I think it came up a few times on WGN when he died, and we all talked about him at length, and he had absolutely done, you know, because he would do those commentaries every day. Yeah, If I Were the Prince of Darkness.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting, and that was on one of his 1965 commentaries. And, you know, I think there are some people who really resonated with that and other people who were just offended as hell by it. But, you know, that's typical.
Yeah.
That's typical Paul Harvey. You know, you loved him or you hated him. But boy, he certainly had a following. And so sometime we'll play that because it's not long. It's only a few minutes.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Hey, that kind of stuff is kind of similar to what's going on.
Yeah.
Not too far away from,
Right.
It's pretty interesting when I heard that.
Right.
And it was the first time I heard it because I never heard it before. I mean, I heard Paul Harvey on GN because,
sure.
Like when Bob Collins was around and Wally Phillips, you know.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
That particular one, it kind of like stood out, but yeah.
Good day. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So Savannah, Georgia, I'm sure you've been there.
Spent plenty of time. And now it's funny, we used to think of Savannah as the place you'd go, but now we'd say, oh yeah, just south of Hilton Head. But yeah,
okay.
Savannah's nice. If you have a sense of smell, you might not be too happy because the pulp mills are not far from Savannah, so it gets quite fragrant.
Oh, okay.
Quite fragrant. But if you don't have a sense of smell, it's not bad. A lot of history and you know, real deep
mansions, right?
Yeah, right. Real deep south. Yeah, and I have a few high school buddies who still live there. So yeah. And
one of the photos they've mentioned here, because they mentioned this in the Tampa Times, there's a bridge. What is that?
Oh, and there's the trees, too. If you're into that, it's the Talmadge Memorial.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're into bridges. And so, but that's what it is. It's the Talmadge.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where that was leading to, but...
It goes between Savannah on the mainland and Hutchinson Island is where it's heading.
Oh, so, and that's what that is.
It's going from downtown. It's right downtown. And US 17 actually goes across that bridge. And, you know, US 17 is the big highway when you're going up to Myrtle Beach and all that kind of stuff. So it was a cantilever bridge. It was built in about 53. Originally, and then they replaced it in about 91. I'm sorry. I've only been on the original. I haven't been on the replacement, but I've been on the original many, 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 many times. So, but they redid it, and I couldn't tell you what it looks like now.
Yeah, 2020, it says that they did like a entertainment district.
I don't know. I think that thing was replaced in 1990 originally. I mean, the one that I remember, which was built in 53, I think they replaced that in 1990. But I'm not sure. In any event, there's Savannah's pretty impressive in a lot of ways. Now you better like humidity.
Oh well, I mean over here you can. I mean, we
yes,
got
so you're
over
right.
Here,
you're no, you're right. I'm talking to a man in Tampa. What the hell am I saying? It's not going to be worse than that. No, you're absolutely right. It won't be. It won't be worse than that. Now it won't be that much better, but it won't be. Worse than that. And yeah, they have the big historic district and all that you can look at, and they got really nice trees. Lots of places with really good looking trees. So if you're into good looking trees, some stuff that will give you nice. Vistas, if you like to taking pictures and stuff like that. It's ancient. I mean, for America, it goes back to 1730 at least. And
there's a lot of history, yeah.
Right. But the fact that I say 1730, notice I didn't say the 1600s. And by 1730, Savannah was considered America's first planned city. And, they called it now the hostess city of the South, whatever the hell that might mean. And, but it's the oldest city in Georgia, and it's Chatham County, and it's right on the Savannah River. But, you know, you can look at some of these parks, and like I say, the trees, really nice trees. That's what can I tell you? I noticed the trees.
Oh, let me just mention one more thing. Hopefully that, because Steve and Johnny, aren't they usually broadcast like from Panama City?
They have a place there, and then in winter, in summer, they're in Chicago, and in winter, usually in Florida, right?
Because we had some storms today, and that got rolled over pretty good. We survived over here, but except if you're near the water, but I saw Panama City on the Weather Channel, and hopefully everything's okay over there, but they got pretty rolled over over there.
Yeah, but we're not talking snow.
No, of course not.
And it's a pretty nice night, all the other than about bit windy tonight, but other than that, I think that more inclement weather might be rolling in about Friday, much like Chicago about Friday. But yeah, I saw, and you know, the Weather Channel is famous for if anything untoward happens on one block, they'll show it from 37 angles to make you think the entire city disappeared. But so they had the Panama City tornado, and I'm sure the thing you saw was that tilted house, and tilted house has been on every piece of video you're gonna see.
It looks like the one over there in Italy, Piazza.
Yeah, it's really weird because if you look at it, there's a house on both sides of it that are not tilted, and there's a little blue house on one side and a little greenhouse on the other. There's a gray house in the middle. It's just like, how the hell did that happen? By the way, there's suspected tornadoes, quote unquote suspected, because of course tornadoes themselves are not that common in Florida. You get a lot of water spouts and things like that. But
water spouts was up there. Yeah, I saw that.
So who knows? But I want to know more about this house, because that's the one they're showing everywhere, and maybe I can find it. All right. Well, good to talk to you.
We'll talk later in the week, maybe.
Okay, thanks. Okay, good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go online, you'll see this. It's just one house, and the houses around it are fine. This one's at an angle, a severe angle. Let's find out what's going on in the world. Well, not actually the world at large, just who's paying for the privilege of having me on this radio station. All right. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
A bumblebee, an evil bumblebee. I gave you love as sweet as honey, my life, my soul, and all my money. You didn't seem to realize you had a home in paradise. Shooey, you hurt me like a bee. A bumblebee, an evil bumblebee. Before you go, don't ever.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is more Laverne Baker, and that's a unique record in that it charted pop but not R&B. We will play her big top 10, last top 10 R&B hit after the news, which we'll check out right now, and then we'll hear from you, Andrew, Sherry, Dave, Robert, and Jane, coming up on WGN Radio.
Cannonball. Oh, yeah.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that is Laverne Baker, and that was her last top 10 hit on the R&B charts. She hadn't had one for years on the pop charts, but got to number 9 in 1962, and that actually was on the last album she recorded for Atlantic, C.C. Rider. Yeah, the name of the album and the name of that track as well. And it was really a who's who when you looked at that. There were 12 cuts on, and everybody from Mickey Baker to King Curtis played on some of those sessions. Sam the Man Taylor and on and on. So 888-876-5593, 888-88 Raleigh. And I believe Robert and Stickney want to talk about Laverne Baker. So hello, Robert.
Yes, how you doing, Raleigh?
All right, and yourself?
Not too bad. Pretty good today.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I have, you said, did you say the first and last R&B or?
No, that was Laverne Baker's last top 10 R&B hit. It certainly wasn't the first. She'd been on the charts since 1955. Tweedledee came out in 55, and of course, sadly, Georgia Gibbs covered it on the pop charts, but original was Laverne Baker, and she got to number 4, and then follow that up with my all-time favorite Laverne Baker record, which is Bop Ting-a-Ling, that made it to number 3 on the R&B charts, but didn't chart pop.
Oh, okay, because I was thinking of, it was a ballad, so I'll, if I could just take a wild guess, would that song be I Cried a Tear?
Well, certainly that's among her repertoire. She got to number 2 in 1958 with that, but her biggest hit would have been Jim Dandy, which was number 1 on the R&B charts. But yeah, I Cried a Tear did very well. And that was 58. Got to number 2, and it was number 2 for like a month. Did well.
Yeah, yeah. I knew it went way back. That's why when you said last night, I was just taking a wild guess on it. Yeah. Yeah. Could I just put in a couple of requests for the near future?
I don't see why not. Let me get a pen, and we'll see what you want. Okay.
Okay. I'm still on Gene Pitney yet. Every Little Breath I Take by Gene Pitney.
Didn't I play that?
No, I asked for Love My Life.
Okay, yeah, remember I played that. I think I played Every Little Breath I Take for someone else, but I'll play it again. What else?
Yeah, okay. And Great Balls of Fire, Jerry Lee Lewis?
Maybe. All right, what else?
That'll be it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you'll definitely get Gene Pitney, and maybe you'll get Jerry Lee Lewis. All right.
Oh.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, yeah, I have somewhat of an aversion to records that were just overplayed and overplayed and overplayed. And I don't think there's anybody who doesn't know Goodness Gracious Great Balls of Fire. Jane is in Milwaukee. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, indeed. It's you.
Hi. Do you know this song? There's a song from years ago that goes, Muhammad, Muhammad Ali floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee. Does that sound familiar?
It might have been, I have. But, you know, Muhammad Ali recorded an album, I Am the Greatest, which was earlier. That's when he was still Cassius Clay, and he's probably best known for that. They actually, after that, Columbia, for reasons I will never fathom, decided to put out Cassius Clay's singing, so we have Stand By Me, and that's usually what I think of. But, yeah, I remember the lyrics.
Yeah, and then there's another one, which I don't know. It was from my time zone in high school because I'm 68. All I can tell you, it was a one-hit wonder. It's a black disco hit, and in the title was the last words, New York. Does that sound familiar? And these people had white outfits on. They were real skinny in the video that someone once brought up on their phone for me because I just got a regular flip phone that has nothing special on it.
Well, there's a lot of disco songs with New York in it,
Two words in the title had the words New York, but I don't have the name anymore. I lost it.
It wasn't Native New Yorker, I take it.
I think so.
Okay. Well,
that's
Native New Yorker was a big hit. I don't know that I'd call it disco, but I guess quasi disco. So sure, I can play that if you actually want to hear it for reasons.
Yes,
that I
can. That's the one.
The name of the group was Odyssey, and they were they were on RCA.
I'll write that down again.
Yeah, they were on
RCA.
And actually, some of their other stuff I thought was better than Native New Yorker, but that was the big hit. But Odyssey was the Odyssey
was the
group. I'm
gonna write this down on my piece of paper here because otherwise I will forget this. Because at my age, I sometimes forget things.
Well,
that when it happens.
Yeah, they came up in the late 60s. They were a family act. They were originally in the Virgin Islands, and then they were in New York, and it's the Lopez girls, Carmen and a couple others, Lillian and someone other. And they used to do gigs, you know, like weddings or parties or all that. And, you know, then Carmen, you know, dropped out, and she decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and get married and forget about this. So they found a guy to replace Carmen. That was Tony. And I think he was from Manila. So then they couldn't be the Lopez sisters anymore. It just didn't really work out, you know, with Tony there and all. And so they decided, since they were embarking on a new Odyssey with a male singer, that they would call themselves Odyssey.
Okay. That's too bad it didn't last, though. Yeah. You know, they were...
No, they definitely didn't last.
Popular in high school.
Yeah, yeah, but that that one hit was definitely a hit, so I can play that.
That's kind of too bad that they didn't last, but there were lots of groups that came and went, and then the oldest group I know is the Rolling Stones, my gosh.
Well, you know, I guarantee you, when Murray the K brought the Rolling Stones saying, these guys have hair longer than the Beatles, and nobody would have ever said, oh, yeah, 60 years later, they'll still be performing. No one would have said that.
Me neither, because I was just about 6 or 7 when they came out, and I barely remember them from that far back, even though the only album I have is called More Hot Rocks. You probably heard of it.
I'll tell you, Odyssey, that first album that had Native New Yorker on it, had some good stuff on it. Weekend Lover was pretty good, and You Keep Me Dancing was pretty good. There were some things on that album that were not bad, and Sandy Linzer arranged that.
Okay. Sounds good. If you could play one or both of those tunes,
I'll give you the one you want. Native New Yorker, my pleasure.
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Odyssey. Like I say, I kind of liked Weekend Lover. And, most of those were, you know, album cuts on a number of groups' albums. But there you have it. All right, so Jane will get that as our next bumper, and that's easy. But Jim is a first-time caller. And he is in Richmond, Wisconsin. So, Jim, thank you for calling WGN.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just recently started listening to you, and I love you very much.
Well, thank you.
I was just wondering, what's your opinion of Jim Steinman as a writer and a song maker?
I don't have an opinion. I really don't.
He wrote for his Meatloaf, and he wrote for other...
Right, and there's some good stuff, but you know, he co-produced with Jimmy Iovine, Rock and Roll Dreams, and all the Meatloaf stuff, and Dead Ringer, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm very well aware of who he is.
And Tom Petty.
Right, I'm well aware of who he is, but you know, this is, and sadly he's no longer with us, as you know.
Yes.
You know, Bonnie Tyler, I did stuff like things. He did the Bat Out of Hell album, and you know, I mean, things like Total Eclipse of the Heart, I hate that record, so I'm the one who does. I know it sold a lot of records, but it made me change the station in a heartbeat. So it's not my kind of stuff. But that's not to say, like he also did stuff for Celine Dion. Oh my God, help me. But that's not to say that this guy didn't have a lot of talent, and obviously was responsible for a lot of record sales. So you'll never hear it in my car while I'm driving around listening to stuff. But I respect the hell out of him. But I don't have any personal opinion other than I don't want to hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. That's like anything else. You know, as I say, I recognize these are big hits and they did very well. Mm-hmm. And that's terrific. You know, just not my stuff.
But I'm also, you know, also a fan of all the early music and stuff like that. But I just love how he makes music where it starts and crescendos and goes on and on. And the beats of his music. But I thank you for taking my call.
Oh, absolutely.
And I love your show.
I hope you will again. And let me also mention, for people who aren't familiar with Steinman, this guy was versatile. He even worked with Def Leppard. And, you know, you saw him involved with movies like Footloose. And, I mean, he's no slouch. So just because it's not my taste doesn't mean that he's not terrific.
Right.
I just don't want to hear it.
Right, I understand.
Yeah.
And thank you for taking my call.
I hope you will
again. And I hope you have a wonderful week.
You too. Call me again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, a lot of credits in that guy's life, no doubt about it. So, yeah, I got nothing bad to say. But, you know, music is one of those things that's absolutely personal. And, you know, the best songs are the ones that take you where you want to go. And I think we all agree that that's the truth. The argument comes in which songs are they. And all of us have a different opinion of our Desert Island Top 20 or what you have it. And there wouldn't be any Jim Steinman-related stuff on my Desert Island Top 20. But there would be on a lot of people. He wouldn't have sold that many records otherwise. So 888-876-5593. We got Dave, we got Sherry, we got Andrew, we got Marianne, and you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Odyssey, 1977 and 78. That album was around for a while. Weekend Lover that I mentioned that I really liked was on the charts right after that, but Native New Yorker was the big one, and happy to play that. So what are we talking about? I believe we're talking about pit bulls. All right, get down with your bad self. Andrew, welcome back to WGN Radio. Andrew.
Wow.
Yeah.
Waited a long time. What
you
time
did.
Is it?
What time is it? It is now midnight, 25:48. 49:51.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I like your show either way.
when you're awake, that's good.
First of all, well, I like listening to all the callers. It was nice. So on the last, remember the night where you can't get any callers in?
Yes.
Well, I just, you were mentioning at the beginning pit bulls and something about them, and I don't know, I was just happy that, you know, you were just saying good things about them, because a lot of people, especially the ones who really say they're dog lovers, you know, they'll just immediately turn on you when you say, oh, I have a pit bull.
Well, they're ignorant, is what it is.
And,
firstly, as you know, if you have one, pit bulls themselves are not a specific breed. They are a group of breeds that fall under the pit bull banner, and whether Amstaffs or several others. Now, I respect the heck out of a pit bull because I'm very well aware of its lineage, and it needs a responsible owner. Firstly, I think one of the reasons they became such fighters is because they'll die for their owners. They'll do anything for you. They are just terrific dogs that way. But because there were a lot of unscrupulous people who bred them for fighting, there's certain things in the line where you need a responsible owner who is going to show a lot of socialization and firm handling. And if you got that, you can have a terrific dog. But if you don't, you will see all manner of hell, and it's not the dog's fault.
Right. There was a period in my life. It was the second time I went homeless. Okay, so it was me, my pit bull, and my fiance.
Okay.
That's a long story what happened. So we were living in this lady's house and for about a month, and there was a two young kids there, a five-year-old and a two-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And we would come home from work, and everything would be fine. And one of those kids wouldn't stop poking and prodding Chico and, you know, twisting his tail, and Chico did nothing. He was a perfect saint.
Well, I, that's great, but you certainly don't want to expose that poor dog to that for too long, because eventually he might eat that child, and it's not his fault.
Well, we were consistently telling the parent, who was a teenage mom, to have your kid not do this.
Right.
And she wouldn't. And we had come home from work, and it was just them two and the dog, which is a two-year-old and a five-year-old.
What happened ultimately?
Eventually, when we finally moved out, I actually called CPS.
Good.
Because it would just be those two kids.
Yeah.
And literally, once I came in, they were on the table having a sword fight with kitchen knives.
Oh, God.
No other parents. So, and they call us up and shoot us out. And I was like, hey, I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
But, I'm sorry.
No, you did the right thing. That was the only thing that could be done to protect the children, and very unfortunate. Well, I'm glad they went away, and I'm glad the dog was not harmed.
Okay. Secondly, Jack Parr versus Johnny Carson.
Uh huh.
Who did you prefer, or would you prefer?
You know, actually, I can see a lot of benefit to both of them, but I was so sweet on Johnny Carson. Not personally, but in terms of his ability as an entertainer, that I really would go for him every time.
That's interesting, because I know a lot of people swear by Jack Parr.
Oh, I know, and I have, like I say, I have a lot of good things to say about Jack Parr, but there was just that X factor about Johnny Carson that certainly was, I was one of the people captured by that. I thought he was just tremendous. Again, on stage, not off stage.
He was incredibly charismatic.
Yes.
To the point that when you hear about the offstage stuff, you know, the first time, you know, it's like your jaw drops. You're like, how can that be?
I guess I knew about some of the offstage stuff early on, but that didn't matter to me. You know, I didn't have to date him. I didn't have to know him. But as far as coming into my house at night, if there was a television there, or if I was somewhere where there's a television, I thought he was always somebody I'd check out. I thought his monologue and his reaction to guests were just priceless.
Yeah, I agree. Finally, I learned that I told my dad about your record, their album From Hell or whatever it was called, contest. And he actually told me, and I forgot about this, that You're Having My Baby is one of my mom's favorite songs.
I love it.
And I smiled when you mentioned Here Comes the Bride, that TV show.
Don't tell you, she loved that too.
TV show.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
She loves Neil Diamond. She always sings Sweet Caroline, and she loves the Mariah Carey Christmas song.
I understand the personality. Don't tell her about my show. This is not somebody who would want to listen to it. That's all well and good. But, you know, considering what you came from, you turned out very well. So
I got my dad's taste.
Yeah, boy. I'll tell you what. Well, he put up with your mother, so obviously the man has a world of patience. Yeah. All right. Well, it's always good to hear from you, Andrew.
Thank you. Have a great night. Okay?
You too. All right, so we'll talk to Sherry, we'll talk to Dave, we'll talk to Marianne, and you too. Right now, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio News on WGN Radio.
Straight from heaven and the stars above, came the man I love, but it never did occur to me that my handsome lover myself, what am I doing? Where am I going? Seeing this married man. Oh, but when he holds me in his arms, tells me that I'm his lucky charm, I'm doing the best I can. And I'd rather be his weekend lover than no kind of lover at all. Yeah, I'd rather be his weekend lover.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Weekend Lover. I thought that was the best thing on that first Odyssey album on RCA. But and that, by the way, wasn't the original 45 version, but nice nonetheless. So there you have Odyssey, who, of course, Native New Yorker was what they're known for. But I thought Weekend Lover was the one. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We're about to get to Dave and to Sherry. But I wanted first to mention this Tilted House, because I looked this up. Now, like I say, if you were watching the Weather Channel, who specialize in taking the same house or same block from 32 angles and making it seem like an entire city disappeared, then you've seen it. And it's right on the water in Panama City Beach. And the interesting thing about this block of houses is I think they're probably classified as condos because the land is very tight. You know, it is probably, literally inches, if not a foot, between one unit and another unit. And the selling factor of all of these is that it's on Gulf Drive and it's right on the Gulf, and so you get this nice view. And so it is that 5101D Gulf Drive had an interesting history. It at one point it sold for about $85,000 and in 2014. It sold for about $1 million in 2004. And now it's available for $3.2 million. And you're saying, what the hell happened? Well, in 2020, someone rebuilt it, is what happened. And they turned it into this 8-bedroom, 6-bathroom, 3,340-square-foot house looking over the Gulf. And again, it's sandwiched right between two other houses. But whatever hit it this morning, and I say whatever hit it this morning because at this point it's still a suspected tornado. They don't know. A water spout, your usual Florida problem. And so it is that all the houses around it, oh, they have damage. The house next to it lost half of its roof. But this house literally was upended. It now is totally at an angle. You know, maybe 45 degrees. I'm not sure, but certainly we're not talking about anything subtle. This is enormous. As far as I know, it is not occupied. I'm not sure that anybody bought it, or at least if they didn't occupy it, since the remodel. And in 2020. But if you look at this thing, it's just alarming that this would happen. And I'm sure there are a number of code enforcement people that'll be looking into it. But if you were seeing the stuff on the Gulf of Mexico, that's the deal with the 5101D Gulf Drive house. Now we've got Dave in LaSalle. Dave, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Okay, Raleigh, nice to hear from you. I just want to run a couple songs by you. This one goes back to the mid-50s from my high school cruising years, and this is one of them, Since I Met You, Baby.
Oh, sure, Ivory Joe Hunter. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I always like it, still do.
Yep.
I have another one when I got out of high school. It's an instrumental. It's called Wade in the Water.
Oh, that's much later. So Ramsey Lewis, Lewis Trio.
Mid-60s, uh-huh. Maybe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He also had, of course, the In Crowd, but there was a vocal of that, too. You will remember it. I can't remember the name.
Oh, yeah. Most of this stuff had vocals. But sure, Wade in the Water is what you would like to hear.
Yes, that is the one, and the Ivory Joe Hunter song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we'll avoid the In Crowd with lyrics, which, of course, would be
Don't
Be Great.
That's had a lot of points.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, be happy to do that for you.
Yeah, so I'm going to get off the horn, light up my pipe, and listen to the rest of your show.
Well, it's not much to go, so thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay,
all right.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
So tomorrow is a full show, by the way. That's right. A full big 3 hours with me, whether you want it or not. But of course, you can always change the station. But if you do care to listen, I'll be talking to you. We have Sherry in Naperville. Welcome to WGN Radio, Sherry.
Hey, let me take you off speaker.
Oh, but of course.
Because I know it's static. Originally, your first story about the girl who choked on whatever?
Yeah, the child choked on it's marketed as candy, and it's gummy. And
gummy beads or
right,
something.
Right,
I've never heard of.
Well, it's a, it's a deal where Hasbro, who of course make the games, it's named Candyland Gummy Dot. And the company that makes it is actually a food company in Frankfurt in Philadelphia. But anyway, so it comes out as Candyland Gummy Dots.
Well, what bothered me the most was that the parents weren't, I mean, I...
The parents were there.
I have been a babysitter before you were required to be a...
I understand all that, but what I'm saying is the parents are claiming they were there, and even when they got the child to the hospital, the way this candy was made, it became very difficult for doctors to remove it.
But nonetheless, my point is common sense, and as a babysitter for infants on up, since I was in sixth or seventh grade, which makes me, because I was a year younger, because I grew up in California.
Right, whatever. This is a 3 year. This is not an infant. It's a 3 year old child.
Nonetheless, you know what the hazards are, and
no, I don't think you do. See, that's where I'm begging to differ on this. Normally, if it was a situation like that where we had parents who were just irresponsible, this is a situation where, under normal conditions, giving a 3 year old one of these candies is a perfectly normal thing. There's no warnings on it whatsoever. There's nothing about it that says not suitable for, et cetera, and so forth. So I don't see where you get that.
You don't give 3 year old sweets other than baked cookies.
Well, that's not necessarily
true. Cake.
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think people have given children sweets from the beginning of time.
Well, maybe so, but that's not healthy for them.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's healthy. But, well, now you're getting into healthy, and healthy is a lot different than choking.
Nonetheless.
Yeah.
But it really peed me off.
Well, okay.
But nonetheless,
we'll agree to disagree.
I want to give extreme kudos to Leah and her last night knowing that this answer was not correct. I mean, it was phenomenal that she stuck to her guns and you figured it out and you knew everything that was not correct on the internet.
Well, there you go.
And I appreciate you both, especially Leah, and I'd love to hear for her community theater thing what's coming up. And if it's Oklahoma, I think she should play, I think, Annie.
Okay. All right.
I love you both.
Thanks. Good to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. So, yeah, the gummy story is absolutely going wild on the internet, and Sherry's point of view is not without supporters. A number of people would say that, you know, three, you probably don't want to give a child anything that would be gummy. Now, the lawsuit, as I mentioned, is only for $50,000, so they're clearly not really going after trying to have the child's care taken, handled and all that. What they're saying is, hey, this should be, should be labeled. And I'm going to have to get a pack of this stuff because I've never seen it, and I don't like gummy things anyway. But the deal is that you have half of the groups who are saying, absolutely a three-year-old can eat that as long as you are nearby. Which should be true with anything with a three-year-old. Others are saying, much like Sherry, absolutely not. But it's interesting to me that with all that's going on in the world, more people are outraged by this than much of anything. And there you have it. So I'll have to try and get maybe tomorrow. I'll go to the grocery store. Oh, that'll be a field trip and see see if I can find this particular product, the Candyland and gummy dot. All right, so maybe it'll only be on the shelves for a short time longer. I don't know. We also have, while we're at the subject of children, I'll get to Marianne in Chicago in a moment, but every now and then you hear a story. And by the way, this is not one where there is any gray area whatsoever. I think every thinking person would agree that this Arizona mother should be put under the jail as far as that goes. Yeah. A 24-year-old woman abandoned her six-week-old child for 37 hours. Well, police found it dead. But here is the deal. She wanted to go out and bar hop and sell her body not making that up. And she decided that the best thing to do with a six-month-old child would be to give it NyQuil and melatonin. I'm not making this up. She did this not only with a six-week-old child, but with a 17-month-old child as well. You really wonder how the kid lasted 17 months. She's been arrested for second-degree murder and child abuse. Initially, she lied to the cops. She said she rocked the baby to sleep, who was being fussy at 2:30, and then she left the apartment around 8 in the morning and returned an hour later, and the newborn was unresponsive. Well, you know, I mean, you got to realize there's probably surveillance footage on everything, and investigators discovered she departed the apartment on the evening of July 28th and returned on the morning of July 30th. Yeah. Well, we figured a little NyQuil and some melatonin. You got to be kidding me. All right, people behaving badly. Again, 888-876-5593. 8888-ROLLIE. We'll get to Marianne, and then there's, if you want to be the lone caller, that's great. Otherwise, 21 hours from now, we'll do it all again on WGN Radio.
Hardly ever thank the stars above for sending me your very precious love. You'll never hear me say a prayer, but thanks to someone way up there who gave me such a lucky break. Oh no, darling, only with every breath I take. And every time we have to be apart, I hardly ever find you in my heart. And when it comes to thinking of the thought of losing all your love, I never worry how my heart would ache. Oh no, darling, only with every little breath I take.
There you have it. By your request, Gene Pitney, Every Little Breath I Take. Happy to play that. 888-876-5593. And Marianne, if she's still with us, is hanging out and around in Chicago. Now, Marianne, how are you feeling?
Well, I feel a lot better since I heard Native New Yorker and Weekend Lover.
Oh, well, all right. Now, how's the eye?
Well, I'm slowly getting vision in the top half of it.
Good.
But what I have envisioned, it's like somebody rubbed Vaseline on my glasses.
Yeah.
It's very blurry, but he said every day I'll notice the black disappearing more and more.
Good.
And I had to laugh because when I went to the doctor the day after my surgery.
Yeah.
Okay, he took the patch off and says, what do you see? I said, it's all black. Do you see any floaters? Like...
No, yeah, right. You didn't understand. It's all black. Yeah.
That's what I kept saying. It's all black. Floaters are black. If I have a floater in that eye, I don't know.
Right.
And I found out why that eye drop burned so bad.
Okay.
Okay, when I first got them, took them out, looked at the boxes, put the ones that go four times a day over here, one twice a day over here. Do they need to be refrigerated? No. I did not see that it said shake thoroughly.
Oh.
So that one had like pretty much like battery acid on the top because I didn't shake it.
Yeah.
And the next day when I saw it said shake thoroughly, I shook it and it hardly burned at all. So anybody out there, read your directions thoroughly.
Oh, absolutely. That goes without saying.
And as far as that last story that you told,
yeah.
All I can say is God took that child from somebody that was just going to give it misery.
Oh, well, of course, you have to look at it on the spiritual level, but oh my God.
Because we had that little boy here, AJ Friend, who 5 years of his life was nothing but torture.
Yeah.
And
just hard.
The only thing is she ends up in jail, so there's a good chance she's going to get a butt kicking in jail from a mom.
Oh no! There's no doubt about it that this woman will absolutely see her just due one way or another. I agree.
Hopefully,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I tried to find out how the 17-month-old child is, obviously alive, but none of the reports that I saw are talking about where is that child, what is her or his health, as I don't even know if it's male or female. But yeah, the woman obviously has been arrested, and I don't think it's going to end well for her.
Good. It yes. shouldn't.
It should. You're absolutely right. It shouldn't.
Because, you know, there's like how many child service people went out to that friend residence and said that the carpets were covered in fecal matter. The kid was undernourished, full of bruises. No teacher saw that and reported it. And if they did, where did that report go? In the circular file?
Yeah, it's that's a whole discussion for a show with a lot more substance than this. But I will say, unfortunately, that CPS makes some very wrong calls, not only on the side of not taking care of a horrible situation, but very often stepping into situations where they just don't belong.
And there's supposed to be, I guess, a law in Illinois, birth mother's rights.
Well...
And they're so afraid of that in Child Protective Services, birth mother's rights. Judges are like, oh, birth mother's rights.
Well, like I say, you got to call somebody else for that full discussion, that's for sure. All right.
One more quick thing. You were talking about Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
My stepfather knew him very well.
Uh-huh.
Because my stepfather worked downtown at traffic court.
Uh-huh.
And when Ali and his driver were coming in, they pulled my stepfather and put him in a side room because they didn't want everybody to mob him. And he said he paid every ticket his driver got.
All right.
Every time. And then he'd sign an autograph for my stepfather, and he'd come home all happy and everything. But he said he was a really nice, down-to-earth guy, really sweet.
That's what I've heard, too, from people who have worked with him. I have not heard a bad word either. So that's a nice heritage.
And he wasn't a really nice piece of eye candy, wasn't he?
Well, there is that. All right. Thanks thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Good deal. Now, tomorrow night, it's a whole show, a full show. There was something else I was going to mention tonight, and now it's gone the way of all flesh. I have no idea what it was, but I will tell you that the new moon is Thursday at right before 6 in the morning Central Time. So you probably tomorrow night after the show want to write your Law of Abundance check, and I'll remind you again tomorrow night, but that will be coming up. And we're in the shadow of the retrograde until the 20th. After that, well, it's already better. I mean, Mercury went direct on the 1st, but you're in the shadow till the 20th. All right, so that pretty much is what there is. And yeah, there was absolutely something. I had picked it out, and I said, let's talk about this, and now I have absolutely no idea what it was. So Jim Croce would have been 81 today. Yeah, South Philly boy. And last hit, working at the car wash, Blues, and sadly died on takeoff in his plane in Nacogdoches, Louisiana, just 30 years old, and that was a loss. What else do we have? Like I say, tomorrow full 3 hours, and then Thursday, I think it's about 2.5 hours. We lose a little because of the Blackhawks, but shouldn't be all night. Frank Sinatra Jr. would have turned 80 Wednesday. Interesting. I never thought much about him one way or another, and I wound up having to go to a concert involved with the radio station where I was working at the time. And so John and I went, and I expected absolutely nothing. And I'll tell you what, close your eyes, and that is, or was, he's no longer with us, but that was Frank Sinatra. I mean, Junior sounded identical. And so, he no longer is with us either. Died in 2016 in Daytona Beach, young, too. Cardiac arrest, he was just 72. And, of course, lived with that kidnapping because so many people thought it was a publicity stunt. And it in fact, was not. So rest in peace, Frank Sinatra Jr., who would have turned 80. All right, so until tomorrow, 20 hours from now, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Please do it again tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Central, right here on WGN Radio.